that card. Best I can remember, they had a card that you would land in jail and you pull the card and it said, get out of jail. Had a picture of a man that had a prison uniform on, black stripes and white uniform. Well, I don't want to preach on how to get out of jail, but I do want to preach on how to get out of hell. And you know, it's one thing to get out of jail, it's another thing to get out of hell. And you know what hell for the Christian is? Now, I know I'm not going to go to hell, and I don't think a Christian, thank God, is not going to go to hell. But you know what really the closest hell we'll experience is being out of the will of God here on earth. That's certainly a hell on earth when you're out of the will of God and you don't have fellowship with our living Lord and you're just not walking in the light as He is in the night. And it's just a miserable state to be in when you're not doing what you were made to do. Hell on earth. I talked with a lady yesterday. I was out visiting. And a lady told me this. She said, you know, and by the way, if you're taking notes, the title of the message today is To Hell and Back. To Hell and Back. To Hell and Back. Yesterday I was out visiting and a lady said to me, she said, Brother Pastor, she's gone through a crisis. One of her family members has been snatched from her. And she's said this to me. She said, Brother Pastor, she said, the devil's lying to me. And I said, oh, really? What's he saying? She said, I'm having these thoughts to go ahead and drink and go ahead and get drunk. And it doesn't matter that God doesn't really care for you and God really doesn't love you. And you just might as well go ahead and do that. How many know what I'm talking about, how the devil lies to you? And I got a feeling he's lying to some of y'all too, or some of us too. Can I say it that way? He's a liar. He's a dirty liar. And furthermore, speaking of hell, to hell and back, I got a call a couple of weeks ago, less than a couple of weeks ago now, and met with a young man, 28 years old. Here's what he told me. He said he had served as a Muslim for 2 years. He had been in Islam for 2 years. He said he got hooked on methamphetamines, but he said somehow, some way, he was able to get off the methamphetamines. And he said about a month ago, that the Lord had cried out to Jesus to save him from his sin. And the Lord Jesus had washed his sin away. 28 years old. He drove all the way from Snellville to come down here to meet me. I met with him for about an hour and a half. But he told me this, and he said I could share it. Matter of fact, he shared it at our old-fashioned campfire meeting. So you men heard him say it. The man's 6'5", he weighs 380 pounds, I believe, a great big man. 28 years old. But he said this. He said, I have a problem with alcohol. He said it runs in my family, my parents, my grandparents, and all through my family. How many believe in generational sins? Passed down from generation to generation. Well, we prayed. I prayed. The Lord impressed me to pray with him while he was here at the church. I met with him and we asked God to deliver him from that stronghold of alcoholism. And then at the campfire meeting, he stood up and he asked for prayer. I'm telling you, to hell and back. I'm believing that God is going to deliver him completely from the dependency upon alcohol and trying to escape his problems only to have to face reality over again. So, to hell and back. By the way, how many believe in the devil? The devil's real. He's real. Don't you think he's some cartoon character at all. As a matter of fact, you probably remember me telling the story. I thought about it just now. About the young lady that found a young man that she fell in love with and told her mother, said, Mama, I think he is the one. I believe he's the one that I'm to marry. And her mama said, well, that sounds good to me. But she said, Mama, I've got a problem. She said, what's the problem? She said, Mama, he don't believe in the devil. And she said, Mama, he said he don't believe in hell. The mama said, honey, don't you worry about that. If he gets married to you and he's around me for about 6 months, he'll believe in both the devil and hell. But listen, one of our men sent me a message yesterday morning. He killed a 10-point buck. How many of you deer hunters we got in the bunch today? None of you? How many are lying? Late, raise your hand. You've been hunting there. Anyway, killed a 10-point yesterday, and it reminded me of the story. This message about the preacher and the doctor and the lawyer all went hunting, deer hunting. They saw a great big monster buck. Boom! 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 All three of them shot him at the same time. They couldn't figure out who shot him. They said, now who killed the deer? The deer fell. Who in the world killed that deer? and said, "I don't know, but we're going to get the game warden, Brother Walter. We're going to see if he can figure it out." So he went over there and examined that deer, and he said, "I know who killed the deer." They said, "Who killed the deer?" He said, "The preacher killed the deer." He said, "How in the world do you know the preacher killed the deer?" He said, "Well, the bullet went in one ear and went out the other. The preacher killed it." So listen to me. Listen to me. Hey, don't you please, don't let this message go in one ear and out the other, to hell and back. I want you to know Jesus went to hell and back for me. He went to hell and back for you. And take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians chapter 2. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 2. In this book, we'll look at several verses, and we're going to take a little journey in the Bible. I'll tell you, the devil is still using the same old tools, T-O-O-L-S, tools, to do the same thing. And in Colossians chapter 2, Paul is the author, of course. This is a prison epistle. He never did visit this church, although we're told by historians and scholars, but Epaphras probably was the one, or Tychicus, or one of those, Onesimus took this letter back to the church of Colossae. And there's a great theme integrated throughout this wonderful epistle, the sufficiency of Christ, namely. But we're going to zero in this morning on verse number 13, 14, and 15. And rather than really expound on the verses, we're going to use this as a launching pad to develop what God's got on my heart to share with you today, to hell and back. Colossians chapter 2, would you stand to your feet as we read this together? Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 following. Colossians 2, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses," praise God, "blotting out," look at this, I like verse number 14, "blotting out," that is erasing, removing, blotting out the handwriting, that legal document, as it were, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Isn't that good news? "And having spoiled," I like this verse 15, "having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." I'm telling you, Jesus went to hell and back. Now, whether he literally went to hell or not, I don't want to say. There's some who say he literally went to hell and back. Whether he went there or not, I do believe that he went to hell, spiritually speaking, when he hung on the cross and said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I believe this, beloved, he took your sin. Can you hear me? I said he took your sin. I said he took all of our sin in his body on the tree. I tell you, Jesus was willing to suffer and bleed and die and be crucified. Why? So that I wouldn't have to experience the separation from a holy God. And listen, friend, listen, my brother, that was spiritual, and I don't understand it completely, but that experience into hell and back, as he hung on the cross and all of the imps of hell and all of death's enemies and death and sin was taunting our Lord, I'm telling you. Hey, listen, he experience my hell, that I wouldn't have to go to hell. Father, now in Jesus' name, somehow, some way, God, just quicken our hearts today. Somehow, some way, Father, get us out of the bog holes. God, keep us from complacency. Lord, I sense that you're wanting to do a deeper work in our heart. And Father God, I pray for those tired and weary, worn down soldiers. You'll just fan the flames of faith. And Father, for those who are, Lord, as you tell us in your word, to be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Lord God, we pray that you'll get all that is to us this morning. You'll help us to be broken and bent and subdued and conquered, our God, because you, Lord Jesus, overcame, and we too can overcome. So Lord, give us your mind this morning. Keep us from distractions. Things that happened yesterday, things that are happening today, things that are going to happen. Father, just give us somehow spiritual insight. Lord, help us, Father, to be caught up with you, and give us ears, our Lord, that would be in tune to what you're saying to us today. Thank you now for your word. Thank you now for your spirit. Thank you now for the power of the cross, the precious cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You've overcome, and you are the King of kings, the Lord of lords, coming again one day in glory and power. So, Lord, just be glorified, we pray. Be glorified, Lord. And I just trust you, Lord. I know I'm a tinkling cymbal to a sounding brass. I know, Father, I can do nothing of my own self. You said, Jesus, without me you can do nothing. But with you, Jesus, we can do all things. I pray for healing to take place where healing needs to take place. And God, spiritual restoration where spiritual restoration needs to take place. And God, strongholds and unconfessed sin. And Father, things that crowd out our love relationship with you. Deal with us, Lord. Spirit of the living God, put your finger on idols in our life. Put your finger, Father God, and cut us loose from every weight and every sin that besets us. And just be glorified again. We thank you now and praise you. What you're going to do? We love you, Lord. Thank you for another day to bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. We're talking today on the subject of to hell and back, to hell and back. I want you to know there are three primary tools the devil uses and he don't have to use anymore. Are you ready for them? Number one is D. Number two is T. And number three is A. D, T, A. Get them down because the devil don't need any more tools. He uses three primarily. That's all he's ever used and that's all he's ever going to use, it seems. He might have some more, but three primary tools he uses. DTA. What is DTA? Deception, temptation, and accusation. You got it? Temptation, that is deception, temptation, and accusation. The devil uses the same old tools. You take with the Lord Jesus when he was led in the wilderness for 40 days. He fasted and prayed. What did the devil do? He tried to deceive him. He tried to tempt him. He then tried to accuse him. Why turn these stones into bread? He said the devil still uses deception. The devil still uses temptation. And the devil still uses accusation against the people of God. Now we're going to take a little journey in the Bible. Are you ready to take a little journey? Say amen if you're ready. We're going to take a journey in the Bible, and you're going to see to hell and back, to hell and back. First of all, there's Mother Eve. Mother Eve was deceived. It was deception that overtook Mother Eve. You know how I know that? Because Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. He said, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived. And there they were in the garden. The devil used that same old tool, deception. First is the dialogue, then comes the doubt, then comes the deception, then comes the delusion, and then comes the death, and finally comes the deliverance. Here is Eve in the Garden of Eden, and there is the serpent disguised, the devil disguised as the serpent. He uses that deception. Had God really said, God hadn't really said, you're going to die? And the devil says the same things to us. He says, God really didn't love you. If you were going, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through if God really loved you. Has the devil been telling y'all stuff like that? I know he has. He's a dirty devil. Amen and amen. But here is Eve. She talks with the devil. She messed up there. But God says, hey, wait a minute. I'm going to bring Eve and Adam from hell to hell and back. To hell and back. And you know the story, the account. They sinned against God, by the way. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's say that together. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Say it again. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I heard about a little boy that went home from Sunday school one day. His mama said, son, what did you learn in Sunday school? He said, mama, I learned about ABCs to salvation. She said, what do you mean ABCs to salvation? He said, you know, A, all are senators. He meant all are sinners. But he said, all are senators. Y'all will get it later, amen? But anyway, Adam and Eve, they missed the mark. But you know the good thing? God didn't have to go back to the drawing board. Why, the Lord had planned from eternity past. There had to be bloodshed, and the animals were killed. The blood of animals had to be shed. God clothed them with animals. Why? Because we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. A sacrifice had to be paid. A penalty had to be paid because of their disobedience. And it's because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And the Bible says we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, without spot and without blemish. And the Word of God says that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm grateful to God for the blood. I'm telling you, the blood, if it wasn't for the blood of the Lamb, we'd all be in our sins still today. But God had mercy, because there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. I'm so thankful to God that the blood has washed my sin away. Is there anybody in the house of God today that say, thank God for the blood? Oh, praise God for the blood! It's the blood. In fact, Leviticus 17:11 says, without the life of the flesh is in the blood. It's this reason I put it upon the altar, to make atonement for your soul. It's in the blood that makes atonement for the soul. To hell and back. To hell and back. Do you know how to kill hog? Does anybody here know how to catch a wild hog? We're told, all you got to do, listen. All you got to do is throw some corn out there in the woods. Find a good place. Throw some corn out there on the ground. Some hogs in the air, they're going to come get it. Free corn. Free corn. And throw it out the next day. And here comes. They come and get it the next day. And to just keep throwing out that free corn. Hogs love free corn. Man, they're eating it day after day. And then what you do is you go up there and build a fence line out in the woods on one side and keep throwing out that free corn. They'll keep eating it. Next thing you know, build another side to that fence. Keep throwing out the free corn. And they'll keep coming. You got one side of the fence. You got another side of the fence. And then you box that baby in. Keep throwing that free corn on the ground. And the hogs will come in. Next thing you know, you build a gate on that fence. And keep throwing that free corn. They'll keep coming to that corn. And then the next thing you know, one day they come on in, the gate is open, and the herd of the hogs are in the gate. They're in the fence. Close that gate. And those hogs, you got them. You caught them. They're snatched. They're caught. They're eating free corn. And you see, they don't have any desire to go out there in the woods anymore. You just keep feeding them free corn. I want you to know, they lose their freedom because you're giving them free corn. Is there anybody here following me? I want you to know. I want you to know the devil's the same way. And I believe, beloved, hear me, I believe, beloved, the devil will use the government to try to catch you. I can't hear you. Y'all shut down on me there. The government says, I'll give you free this. I'll give you free that. I can't hear you. I'll give you free this. And then the government's setting the fence around you. What the government's doing is taking away your freedom so that you become dependent upon the government instead of dependent upon God. We will not bow the knee to the government. Our God is Jesus, and we're not going to turn away from Him. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. That's what's happening, beloved. And I'm not saying it's not necessary in some cases. Some may need it. But oh, listen, the devil doesn't care what he uses and how he uses to try to get to that. To hell and back. We turn the page of the whole scripture. We come to a story that I really love. It's a story of a lady that went from rags to riches. A lady named Ruth. She's a Moabite. And actually, there's a lady named Naomi. How many know Naomi loves Salome? Did I get that right? Did I get that right? Wait a minute. Was it Salome named Naomi? I thought it was Naomi loves Salome. No. Did I miss that? It was Naomi loved Elimelech. Okay, thanks. I didn't think that sounded right. Anyway, Naomi loved Elimelech. And here's the yard. They're over in Bethlehem, house of bread.
They got a lot. You don't miss this. They're full to hell and back. They got a bunch. They're blessed. And all of a sudden, a famine occurs. How many know a famine can strike just like that? Next thing you know, here they go over to a little place called Moab. Naomi, Elimelech, her husband, they got two boys, Chilion and Malion. How many know, don't ever name your son Chilion and Malion? Amen. They got two boys, and they're coming over here to Moab. And the next thing you know, they meet a little old pagan girl named Ruth. Keep in mind, they leave from Bethlehem full. Here's a full family. But something happens. Something happens in the journey. And the next thing you know, some say you got to be careful that you don't step out of the will of God. I know the providence of God is in it, but here's the point. They left full, and the next thing you know, Elimelech dies. I can see Naomi standing around three graves. One, two, three, Elimelech's died. Her two sons have died. She left full. She's heading back empty. She's going empty. Is there anybody here? The devil said, what you're going through, God doesn't really care for you. Why, if he really cared for you, you wouldn't be going through all you're going through, all the junk you're going through. But wait a minute. Let me finish the story. Because Naomi's daughter-in-law married one of them boys. That is, Ruth married one of them boys. And Naomi said to the two daughter-in-laws, you can go where you want to go, but I'm going back home. I'm going back to Bethlehem. Where you going to go? And you know the story. Ruth said, thy people should be my people, and thy God should be my God. And so here goes Naomi. Listen to me, beloved. I'm talking about to hell and back. If you buried a spouse and two children, you know what I'm talking about. She left full, but she's coming back to Bethlehem empty. She needs something to fill that up. There's somebody, you that came to the house of God this morning, and you came empty. All week long, you've been discouraged. All week long, you've been depressed. All week long, you've been hearing these voices. And for a long time now, the devil's been on your back. He's been lying to you. He's been using DTA, deception, temptation, and accusation. He doesn't change his tactics nor his strategy. It still works. But watch again. Here comes Naomi back to Bethlehem. And the next thing you know, Naomi's empty. She left full, but she's empty. And now all of a sudden, Ruth turns from the famine chapter 1 to the field chapter 2 to the faith chapter 3 to the family chapter 4. Ruth marries a little boy named Boaz. It just so happens he's a wealthy man. He's got a lot of money. And Naomi, she left full, but she comes back empty. I'm talking about to hell and back. She needs something to encourage her. She needs something to fill her cup up. Is there anybody here today that needs God to fill your cup up? You didn't come expecting, brother, I'll assure you, you won't get anything. Y'all didn't hear me. You come expecting nothing. You're going to leave with nothing. If you came expecting, if you came asking, if you came believing, you're going to leave with the power of God and the glory of God on you. Amen and amen and amen. You come just thinking we're playing church. We're not playing church. We're coming to do business with God. We're coming to get in the presence of the Holy God. We're coming to ask God to have His way with our life. And so Naomi needs something to fill that cup up. And some of you do, don't you? Some of us do. Well, little she know, God's got a plan. And the providence of God is working. And so Ruth marries Boaz. I can see Naomi now. Something's got her attention. She's happy now. Can you see her on the porch? She's on the old home porch. And guess what she's doing? She's rocking a little baby. She's rocking a baby, saying, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know that thus He is the Lord. How many know? How many been down? How many been empty? How many know that God can fill you up even when you're empty? Naomi was empty, and she needed God to fill her up. I'm telling you, there's some of you today that God's wanted to take you to another level. You've got to go through some stuff. I said you've got to go through some stuff. You don't like to go through it. We don't like to go through it. But God said He's prescribed it for us because He's going to fill you up somewhere down the road. He's got something new for you. He's got a new plan planned for you. I don't know what it is, but in Naomi's case, it's a little boy. She rocking that little boy named Obed. And Obed has a little boy named Jesse. Jesse has a little boy named David. And then next thing you know, the line of the Lord Jesus, the genealogical line, is carried on because of a pagan woman named Ruth. I'm telling you, God is good. Amen. Ask God to fill you up right now. He'll do it. He said He'd do it if you believe Him. Whatsoever things you ask, believing, you shall receive. And I'm not talking about naming and claiming. I'm talking about walking in the light. I'm talking about praying according to the will of God, according to 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition we desired of Him. You know what, Naomi, who loves Salome? I mean, Naomi, about, you know what, Naomi, who could, what, you know what she could have done? She could have just said, "Oh God, you're not fair. I don't, God, you're not." I'm not saying she didn't say it, but I'm saying this: somewhere down the road, she had a breakthrough. She didn't complain. Why? She said, "God, I'm believing You're going to even use, watch this, bad things for my good." Can I camp there for a minute? I said, God can use some bad things for our good. How many believe that? If you don't believe that, just open your Bible and read the Word of God. You'll find out our God is so good, our God's so wonderful, our God is so loving, and just like a Heavenly Father, He'll take those bad things the devil's using, trying to use in our life, you know, the deception and the temptation and the act, He'll turn those things around. He's just got a way of doing it. I don't know if He's doing it in y'all's life or not, but I've seen Him do it in my life, and I've seen Him do it in some of your lives. But you know what we do? We want to complain. Come on, talk to me. Can I share a testimony? I want to share a testimony. Can I share a testimony? I don't know what happened. Somehow or another, I must have messed my shoulder up. How many know your pastor's a baby? Let me see your hand. I'm reminded of those two toddlers. They said, if you don't, two toddlers, three-year-olds, they said at each other, if you don't first succeed, cry and cry again. Don't try, but cry. Anyway, somehow I messed up my shoulder. I don't know how I messed it up. Y'all, I hear somebody say, "You want a cookie, Pastor?" But really, I couldn't even lay on the thing. I don't know how it went on the mission trip or something. I don't know what happened, but anyway, couldn't even lay on this left side. And man, the thing was hurting, and I couldn't even put my belt on and reach behind my back. I know some of you probably experienced that, and that's minor compared to things. But you know, my sweet wife, how many know you, your wife and your husband, boy, they're really important when you're going through some kind of trial. You know what my dear sweet wife said to me? She said, "Honey, you want us to get you a handicapped parking place?" Some of y'all ought to smile. It'll do you some good, amen? The Bible says a merry heart do good like medicine. And some of y'all so stressed out, I can see your blood pressure going sky high. But you know what my wife said after that? She said, "By the way, you are one of those AARP crowd, aren't you?" I said, "No, I'm not an AARP crowd. I'd gotten all that stuff in the mail, but I hadn't, you know, followed up on it." Amen. But you know what? I told her, I said, "Honey, I'd rather whine about this shoulder than get it fixed." Amen. It reminded me of the story of that old hound dog at the old country store. That old hound dog was laying at the door. Woo, woo, woo. That old hound dog was, woo. Man, he'd hound, he'd holler and all of that. Somebody came in the store and said, "Man, what's wrong with that old hound dog?" Somebody said, "He's laying on a cuckaburra. He's got a cuckaburra on him. He's got one of those, you know, those prickly stickers under him, and he's howling." Somebody said, "Well, why don't he get off of it?" Somebody said, "He don't want to. He'd rather howl." And that's the way we are. Come on, talk to me. That's the way we are. I'm talking about to hell and back. To hell and back. We turn the pages of Holy Scripture. We come across the man by the name of King David. David went to hell and back. And by the way, you can see the hand of God as he killed the bear and killed the lion. And he, watch this. He had sweet music back there in the pasture as he was keeping the sheep. And he was singing, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. He was singing, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Singing to the Lord. God was grooming him for the position of king. And the next thing you know, he's king of Israel. One of the greatest leaders to ever live. But David went to hell and back. There was a day when the king should have been out the battle, springtime. David's up on the rooftop, and he's looking around. Idle lips are the devil's mouthpiece, and idle hands the devil's workshop. Can I get an amen? You know what I'm talking about. There he is, and he naturally happens to look and notice there's a woman bathing named Bathsheba. He couldn't help the first look, but he could the second and the third and the fourth. When lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin is finished, bringeth forth death. James 1, 13 and 14 and 15. The devil's LSD, here it is, deception, temptation, accusation, deception. David, you can have her, you're king. You can have any woman here, deception, the devil lies. You can have her. You're the king. Help yourself. It's all yours. You got power. You got authority. David, you're the king, said the devil. I'm telling you that in my sanctified imaginations. And then temptation. Hey, how many know 1 Corinthians 10 and 13? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. We all are tempted in mostly the same way. How many men agree with me? How many women agree with me? By the way, you know women now are just as prone to get hooked on pornography on the internet as men are. And fantasies and all that stuff. You know, women may not look at pornography, but then they fantasize in their mind and so forth and so on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't have to elaborate on that. And not only that, but other ways that when we're tempted and... But in this case, now whether it was a woman's fault or whether it was David's fault, it can be speculated and debated and all of that. All I'm saying is David looked and he lusted and he lay and he learned. Oh, he learned. He learned a valuable lesson. He went to hell and died. And to try to cover up his sin, he sent for her husband Uriah, had him killed, withdrawn his troops on the front line, trying to cover it up. To hell and back, to hell and back. And the next thing you know, David's procrastinating. He's sweeping it under the rug. He's running from God, and the hand of God's not on him like it was once upon a time. David went to hell and back. David said, my bones are breaking. He said, man, I just feel that. You can read it in Psalm 32. You can read it in Psalm 38. You can read it in Psalm 51. David says, oh, I've messed up. I've gone to hell. I'm going to live in hell. God, where are you? I can't get a word to God. He was living in deception. He was living in temptation and accusation. Then the devil said, now you got it. Now you got her. And so, David's experiencing. And I believe personally, if he'd gone ahead and done business right away with God, God would have been more gentle in his chastisement with David. However, it was 9 long months. The baby was about to be born until Nathan the prophet was sent to David and had to point out his sin and said, you're the man. If you told the story, you're familiar about the poor man that had the little ewe lamb, and this man took the lamb, and David said, that man ought to restore. And Nathan pointed his finger, I can see him, and said, David, you're the man, you sin. And God's chastisement fell against David. How many know that David reaped the consequences of his sin? Come on, talk to me. I know y'all don't want to hear that part. I know today in America, we just want to say, well, you can just live in a way, do a little thing, and there's no consequence. But wait a minute. My Bible tells me, be sure your sin will find you out. My Bible tells me, whatever a man sows, that's what he also reaps. We can camouflage it, and we can try to excuse it. We can act like that God is not the God of the Bible, and we can act like we're one exception to the rule. But it doesn't matter if it's me or you, and I'm not blaming. I'm saying, there we all go, yet by the grace of God, amen and amen. But I'm saying this, David reaped what is sowed. The child died. Son murdered his other son. Absalom murdered Ammon. His daughter was raped. Then his own son tried to kill him. You don't think David reaped the consequences of the sin? However, he was forgiven. Aren't you glad? Thank God. I'm talking about the hell and back. David had a song to sing to God. He was on the backside of the desert, or the backside of the pasture, rather, the wilderness, and he's singing to God, and all of a sudden, don't miss this, he's lost his song. There's some of us sitting in the crowd this morning, you've lost your song. You hadn't been praising God. You just, the devil's robbed you of your song. And maybe something is crowded in your love relationship with Jesus. Maybe you got something else that's consuming your time, your passion, your attraction, and you're distracted, and your heart is going out maybe for something else. Proverbs 4:23 says this: guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it flows the issues of life. How many believe that Jesus wants to be, yea, demands to be number one in our life? David lost his song. But wait a minute, he went to hell and back. He went to hell and back. I heard about a monk by the name of Thomas that went to a monastery. And speaking of losing your song, they said, Thomas, you're going to have to sign a vow of silence for 10 years. You can't say a word. After 10 years, you can say one sentence. And so Thomas went to the monastery. After 10 long years, they said, Thomas, what would you like to say? He said, the food is bad. 10 more years passed by. He couldn't say a word. 10 years, 20 total years. Thomas, what would you like to say? He said, the bed is hard. 10 more years passed by, 30 years total. Thomas, what do you like to say? I quit. And the superior said, no wonder you complained ever since you've been here. David's back there. He's lost his song, but David can get it back. I'm telling you, God will give you back your song. God will give you back your song. You can have that song back again. Is there anybody here that say, praise God, I might have gone to hell, but I'm not going to stay in hell. I'm not going to stay separated from God. I'm going to come back. I'm going to get my song. Thank God. God said to David, David, I'll wash you and make you whiter than snow. I'll create within you a new clean heart. And David, when all that's said and done, I'll blot out your transgression. I'll purge you with hyssop. David said, and then when you do all that, then when I teach transgressors their ways, how many know that God will forgive our sin? Isn't that wonderful news today? To hell and back. To hell and back. There's a lady by the name of Esther. And Haman was sure, he was pestered. Esther who was pestered. I mean, Esther, watch this. Chapter 1, there's the big party. Chapter 2, there's the beauty pageant. Chapter 3, there's the backstabbing plot. Chapter 4, there's the blessed providence. Are you ready? Here we go. The story of Esther, the name God is not found on one single page, but the hand of God is seen on every single page. Here is Esther. Esther. Haman's trying to kill her, her family. She becomes queen of Persia. And Haman's trying to exterminate them all. Watch this. Don't miss it. Don't miss it now. Esther. This is for somebody. Esther had to fight her fear. Number one. Number two. She had to feed her faith. And number three, she found favor with the Lord. She had to fight her fear. She had to feed her faith. And she, praise God, found favor with God. First, she had to fight her fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Let's say that together. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Esther had to fight her fear. Tell me, what are you afraid of? Tell me, what is the devil saying to you? The deception, temptation, DTAs, deception, temptation, accusation. And the devil was saying to Esther, you might as well give up. By the way, her mom and dad, I don't know what happened to him. She didn't have a mom and dad. Mordecai adopts her in her family. I mean, she grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. And yet God was raising her up for such a time as he did. I'm glad, thank God, that God chooses the foolish things of this world. Esther fought her fear. Esther, you know, if you go before the king, by the way, the only possibility of the Jews being spared is for Esther to go before King Ahasuerus. You ladies help me out for a moment. What is the quickest place to a man's heart? Throw a banquet, man. Get that big king full. Then, you know what? Esther, had she gone before the king without the king's permission, bad news for Esther. Bad news. He could have her head severed from her body. But watch, here comes Esther. Esther comes before the king. And the king sees Esther. He extends that scepter. Come on in, queen. You know why a king accepted and extended that scepter to Esther? Because Esther had been before her king before she came before the king of Persia. Oh, I'm telling you, it makes a difference when you're in the presence of your king. Listen to me. God's not given us a spirit of fear. She fought her fear. What if I die? What if he didn't accept me? What's the devil telling you? What if this and what if that? She fought her fear, but she fed her faith. And Mordecai helped her out a little bit. He said, who knows where thou art come to the kingdom such a time as this? Will you close that door, Brother Ronnie, please, sir? I'll be finished in just a minute. Thank you, brother. And so, thank you, brother. I'm going to tell you all a story. Something happened to me. True story. True story. How many believe the devil's real and demons are real? To hell and back. To hell and back. I was praying with a young man a couple of weeks ago, and he told me that he believed that the enemy had been on his back. He didn't tell me all that was going on. God be my witness. I won't tell you all this. It was just so amazing. And the Lord impressed me to pray with. I talked with him for about an hour. And then the Lord impressed me to start praying for this young man. Engaging the enemy. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, we pray you'll tear down every stronghold. Satan has no place, no power, no authority over us. All has been settled by the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, dig out everything the enemy's attached. You know what that young man started doing? Throwing up. And as I prayed more, he kept throwing up. Kept throwing up. He had not been sick. And listen to me, God being my witness, I'm telling you all the honest truth. I stopped praying after about 5 minutes. He was throwing up the whole time. When I stopped praying, he stopped throwing up. And we started talking for about a couple of minutes. About 3, 4, 5 minutes, just talking. And I said, something's here. I don't know what's here. But the Lord impressed me to start praying for him again. And God be my witness, when I started praying for him again, he started throwing up again. Has that ever happened to you? Never has happened to me before. I'm telling you, the devil's real. And I'm convinced the enemy had some ground and some strongholds in that young man, and he did not want to turn that young man loose. But wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm telling you, there is power in the blood. There's power in the name of Jesus. Satan's not bigger, stronger than God. Jesus has won the battle. He stripped and spoiled principalities and powers and made a public open display of them. He's given us power. He's given us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Child of God, don't run from the devil. Stand and fight the enemy. Lift up the standard against the enemy. In the name of Jesus, tell the devil to be gone. Ask God to release his power. We don't have to be afraid of the devil. Why, Jesus has won the battle. Glory! 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 Thank you, Lord. That's really important. Really important. We had time to hell and back. We could talk about Job who got knocked down, but thank God he didn't stay down. The devil was behind that. You do know that. Satan came before God and said, yeah, he's all right. He's serving you right now. God said, if you consider my servant Job, yeah, he's got everything going his way. But you know the story, one stroke after another, sheep and oxen and servants and camels, his own help. And the devil tried to use Miss Snobby Job, and Miss Snobby Job said, yes, curse God and die. How many know when you're going through trial or tribulation, somebody just say, curse God and die? Is there anybody here that you're going through hell? But God said, you don't have to stay there. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to do a work. You're going to watch me be God, because there is none other than God. And God, listen to me, Job got knocked down, but he didn't stay down. Some of you feel like you've gotten knocked down, but you don't have to stay down. I'm telling you, get up, child, and there's God's will for you. Get up and get back in the battle. I'll close on this. My time's gone. I heard about a Haitian pastor over in Haiti, and he wanted to sell a house. But the man that was supposed to buy the house didn't have enough money. He's asking $2,000 for the house, but he didn't have enough. So the man said, I tell you what, give me half of it. You take half of it. And he said, all I want is one nail. One nail. The owner of the house said, all I want is one nail. I'll give you the whole house, but one nail. I said, all right. And came time for the owner of the house. He wanted to buy the house back. But the man said, no, there's nothing doing. I'm not going to sell it back. And the owner said, I want to buy it. The man said, nope, I'm not going to sell it. You know what that former owner did? He went out and got a dead dog and hung that dead dog on that nail on the front porch of that house. And that dead dog stunk up that house. That was his. That one nail is all he wanted. And that house was stunk to smithereens. Or is it blown to smithereens? It stunk. We say high heavens, amen. Bottom line was, the man said, I don't want to live in this old stinking house. It's yours. I'm out of here. If you give the devil one nail in your life, he'll stink it up. He'll stink it up. Stand to your feet, please.